Fill your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Luke chapter 11, verse 14 says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to speak from the subject, anointed to do ministry. Anointed to do ministry. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. When we look at this text today, my brothers and sisters, that Luke records of the anointed ministry of Jesus to do kingdom work under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, there are some things that you must look at that interplays in this chapter. One of the first things that you must be clearly understood concerning, or must understand clearly about what we're dealing with, is that before he ever did ministry, he found himself in a ministry of prayer. Before he ever did anything in terms of presenting the power and the work that he was to do, he prepared himself with a ministry of prayer. What's important about knowing that, my brothers and sisters, is this, that when we pray and when we commune with God in fellowship, meditating upon his truths, talking to him as he would we do, he gives to us our intimate fellowship and revelation that gives to us a confidence and a peace in knowing that whatever God assigns us to do, he has also authorized us to do. And it means then that we understand that whatever he presents before us or allows to be presented before us, that we will have sufficient authority to handle it. Look at verse 1 of the 11th chapter and you'll see what happens here. The word says, and it came to pass that as he was what?
Praying
in a certain place, meaning removed from the disciples and focusing on fellowshipping with God in the prayer ministry, spending time talking to God and allowing God to talk to him. The word says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And the word says in verse 2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, you've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, in this model prayer that Jesus prays, that he teaches to the disciples, one of the things that is so very clear in this word is how Jesus focuses the attention on the will of God his Father, on the word of God his Father, on the way of God his Father. And if the prayer would pray a prayer that is consistent with what Jesus gave as an example, it will prepare you for everything that happens in your day. Look again at the word. The Bible says, again, he's dealing now as he moves from the prayer to helping them understand the principle. Verse 5 says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now listen at this, because what Jesus was giving them a principle of, and he moves further into making that principle even more clear, is the fact that even if you went to a friend at midnight and he was already ready for bed, the children are already to bed, everything is shut down, locked down, and he's sleeping, and you knock on his door at midnight and say, hey friend, I need 3 loaves of bread. A friend has come, he stopped by my house, I want to share something with him, I don't have nothing to eat. And he said, man, go on now, we sleeping here, everybody's in the bed, ain't nobody getting up and giving you no loaves or no bread. Now the word says, even though he does not entreat him, he does not give to him the loaves of bread because he's his friend, look at what the friend still does. Come on, man, give me some bread. Come on, give me some bread. Now, here's what the man knows. If this fool keeps knocking on the door like that, he's going to wake everybody up in the house and stir up and cause commotion. So not because he's a friend does he get the bread, but he gets the bread because he won't let him sleep because the bread is in his house and not in his. Are y'all hearing me here? What Jesus is saying and making clear is, verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receive it. Now, the word asketh is literally in the continual mode. It means you can't just ask one time if you don't get it and give up. It means as long as you're asking the one who can give it, your best shot is to stay right there and keep on asking. Somebody don't hear me here. Because if you can't rest because they've got what you need, then nobody ought to rest. This is what he's literally saying. Now he's going to bring it into clearer focus. Look at what he says. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You see, what it really comes down to is how bad do you really want it? Because everybody that asks don't really want it. They might desire to some level, but they don't really want it. Because if they really wanted it and they knew where to get it, they would stay right there until the answer came. Notice Jesus tells them, everyone that asks, receive it. But the receiving doesn't come until the asking is continued until that happens. He that seeketh, find it. But he don't find it until he seeks. And to him that knocketh, knocketh, continual knocking, it shall be open. Look at it, it's clear. These are principles. Now Jesus tells him this principle after prayer. See, when you really pray and you get a revelation of what it is that God wants for you, then you learn how to go after it the way that God wants you to go after it, and you don't stop till you get it. Listen at this. Verse 11 says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And then notice what he says in verse 13. If ye then being evil, amen. He ain't even talking about Christians here. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Somebody say much more. How much more shall your heavenly Father give, listen, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Listen at this. Jesus now is making clear, and now remember again, the paradigm is you start off with prayer. You learn prayer to commune with God, to get your word, your revelation, your fellowship with God. You get that straight first with God. From that point on, you begin to operate in the principles, knowing what God says and operating in what God says, knows that you then have the right to expect what God says. Then notice he says, if you want the Holy Ghost, because you're going to need him to be anointed in ministry. Because now you're going to see how Jesus is continuing to build from one level to the next level to be able to be anointed in ministry, how you must operate. Notice what he says again. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Holy Ghost is available for the children of God for the asking. For the asking. Now notice what he goes on to say. And he was casting out a devil. And it, the devil, the demon, the spirit, was dumb. And because the spirit was dumb or mute, when he occupied the person then took on the characteristics and traits of that spirit. And so that person who could speak before that spirit possessed them now could no longer speak because that was a spirit of muteness or dumbness. And so therefore that person could not talk because that evil demonic spirit kept him or her from speaking. Look at what the word says. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. Now, listen at this now. You see, I understand why some of you can't do some stuff. While there is an evil resident on the inside. And I understand why we can't do other things when those persons, those personalities, those spirits are no longer present. Now, I need to say this to you, and I need to say this to you to be serious and to be honest with you. You've got to know that the enemy's desire is to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Now, it's interesting that in this particular story, that this dumb spirit kept the person from speaking. It starts off talking about praying, not speaking to God. It also continues on with principles where it says you've got to ask. That's speaking. And then it keeps on graduating till you get to the point where it says if you want the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to open up your mouth and ask. And the devil, the demonic spirit, don't want you to ask for the Holy Ghost, because when you are empowered, when you are indwelt, when the Holy Ghost comes to reside and live in you, then the demonic spirits can't. Now look at what he chooses to do, because he knows that in order for you to get what you need to get, you're going to have to open up your mouth and confess it. You're going to have to claim it. You're going to have to profess it. And that's why it's so important to understand how powerful speech is, especially when they are faith-spoken words. If the devil can keep you dumb of speaking the things of God, he can keep you out of the fullness of what God has for you, because he knows some of this will never come until you open up your mouth and ask for it. Now listen at this. The word says, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people marveled. The word wonder means they marveled. They were amazed at how this demonic spirit was subject to the anointing of Jesus, who was there to demonstrate ministry work by the power of the Holy Ghost, who was now a part of his ministry in the fullness. Now notice here what the Bible says, but some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Now, that was some folk who didn't know about his anointing, didn't understand the power, the presence, and the person of the Holy Ghost. And so they were superstitious, and they felt the only way this man could have gotten rid of this demon was because he was a bigger devil himself. Listen, because I'm trying to explain to you the times and understanding this word. Because they thought that Jesus was not the Son of God, that he was one who was a liar, a betrayer, one who was not true to what he had professed, they figured that he was demon-possessed himself. That's the reason he was able to work the miracles that he wrought. Now look again at what the word says. But some of them said, he casted out devils. Now notice here, they have searched his record. They have found this ain't the first devil he done cast out. He's got a record of casting devils out. And the record is that through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, he's been able to do what he's been doing. Look at the word in verse 16. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Well, now, my brothers and sisters, if casting out a demon is not a good enough sign of your power and your anointing from heaven, tell me what is. You know, listen at what the word says. Verse 17, but he knowing their thoughts. How did he know his thoughts? Because the Holy Ghost had given him revelation of their thoughts. He gave to him the understanding of that thinking. And notice again, all of this came through the power of the Holy Ghost. These are, again, a part of what the Holy Ghost will do in your life and ministry. He did this for Jesus, giving him this knowledge that he was able to speak, not of what he thought, but what he knew. The word says, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Point blank. Period. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? When ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Now look at what Jesus is saying. If the very sons of this ministry, those sons who've been anointed, who've been given this ministry of casting out demons, healing the sick, preaching the gospel, delivering the captives, giving sight back to the blind, on and on and on. If they've been given this anointing and they do it under the anointing, those of your children who have this anointing upon this on their lives will be your judges, because if you're saying Jesus did it under the power of the devil, and he imparted that anointing on them, then you got to tell them what they're doing is of the devil also. Now Jesus is saying, you might be judging me, but your children gonna judge you. Now listen to how he makes this clear to them. Notice what he says. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God, listen, is come upon you. Now Jesus demonstrated when he said the kingdom of God has come upon you, he meant that he was bringing to them the power of God's kingdom, his anointing there, and he was demonstrating it in the earth realm, and he was going to deliver it unto them so that they could continue to do what he both taught and demonstrated in the earth realm. And he wanted to make clear that the reason he was able to cast out demonic spirits and powers is because he had authority from God over everything that the enemy does. And not just him, but he also gives it to the believers. Now listen at this. He says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And he's making this very clear. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. Now listen to Jesus. Jesus said, you know, a demonic spirit comes in and he overtakes a person because they are not able to fight against the demonic spirit. And so that demonic spirit comes in and he overpowers that person and his will. And once he takes residence on the inside, he does what he wants to do. He brings to spoil. He takes whatever his life is qualitative and bring it down to nothing by the power of Satan himself. And so while this demonic spirit is occupying that body, that temple of that person is under house arrest. It can't do anything other than what that demonic spirit, that force, tells them or guides them or leads them to do. And there they have been overpowered by a greater force, and their will is subject to his. Now look at what Jesus says and makes clear to make that a little clearer. Now that power, that demonic spirit that came in and overpowered that person, had control over that person. But now when a power that's greater than the power that overtook the person comes, then that person is released from that power by the power of a higher power that frees him up to be him again. Oh, somebody ain't hearing me here. But that demon wasn't gonna go nowhere until someone greater than him said, get out of here. And you got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus has a right to go into any house, any vessel, and remove any demonic spirit that doesn't have permission to be there. Somebody comes in your house without your permission, and you can call 911. You ain't got to put them out. The police will come in and get them out. I wish I had somebody here. Because they are the authorities. And so was Jesus saying that the reason I cast out these demons is because I have authority over those demons. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. He, now verse 23, he says, that is not with me is against me. Look at Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to decide whose side you're on. You either going to be fit for ministry or you're not. You either going to stand up and be what you call yourself, a Christian anointed for ministry, or you are not. Look at what he says. He that is not with me is against me. You know, you either believe in the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Ghost, or you don't. You either are what God called you to be, or you aren't. You either do what God said for you to do, or you won't. But it ain't no in between. It ain't no when you feel like it. It ain't when you get ready. You make up your mind, I'm on the Lord's side or not. Because, you know, he doesn't stop there. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now, look at it. You're either on my side or you're not. You're either gathering with me or you're scattering. And, you know, when I look in the church, I see these principles so real and so true. You're either going to be with God and his word or you are not. You're going to be with the move of God and what God is doing, or you are not. But I've noticed this. Those who are with him are willing vessels subject to him. Those who are not with him, who claim they are with him, who occupy his house and sit in his presence and understand the program, but who are not committed to him, needs to understand that if you're not helping bring it together, then you are helping to tear it apart. That's why I've got issues with folk who let other folk change their minds and their opinions about. Listen, if you want to do something right, you need to get with other folk who are doing right. It's amazing how many times, and you look at this and look at your own experience. Now, Jesus said, you're either gathering with me or you're doing what? Now, notice the people who don't want to do the right thing, they try to persuade you not to do the right thing. Well, I ain't going to give. What you going to do? I ain't gonna give neither. All right, I know, because I don't believe in that. So they're not gathering, but then they start scattering. If they're not bringing it together for God's glory, then they are scattering, tearing apart, tearing down, and causing to scatter. See, that's why a whole lot of folk can't stay in certain churches, because when they come here,